Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Jeeves, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
And happy Wednesday, everybody. Another hump day and another episode of the Voice of Indie podcast. This is episode number 117 of these bad boys. This is really cool. I am your host, Beam Weeks, and with me is Mr. Steven, the Frogman. Jeez, what's going on, Frogman?
Yeah, sitting over here nursing my torn rotator cuff and thinking, man, I'm falling apart. But last week I was traveling around, so we had a wonderful Harmony Kent pre-recorded show, and we're getting great feedback from that. We love Harmony, and it's always a joy having her on. But I actually got to, I went up to Nashville to the Ryman Auditorium, the Grand Ole Opry Auditorium, which is wonderful sound and horrible to sit in because it's wooden church pews all crammed together. Very uncomfortable, but got to see Yes. I'll be the roundabout, who I, you know, they've been 56 years, something like that. They've been putting stuff out. And then I went down to New Orleans and saw them down there again in a wonderful old 95-year-old theater I've never heard of, the Sanger. Inside, it looks like a Roman Colosseum with statues and all kinds of stuff. And as it gets dark in there, the sky, the ceiling turns into a sky with thousands of twinkling stars. And it looks like you're outdoors, even though it's actually a ceiling. So I had a lot of fun doing that. Went to the beach, got around, you know, got the yayas out, as it were. And now we're back, looking forward to having one of our favorite authors as a guest tonight.
Yes. And speaking of Yes, the band, today... Yesterday was singer John Anderson's 78th birthday. So happy birthday, wow. Mr. Anderson. All right. Up here, we are now officially looking at fall. We went through like 4 or 5 days of just beautiful mid-70s weather, sunshine. And apart from the leaves turning, you wouldn't have known that it was fall. And woke up this morning, last night before I went to bed, it started raining. Woke up this morning and it was still raining, and it was somewhat warm, but by noon it was cold. And we're talking, you know, with the wind chill, it was like down in the low 30s. So I'm not a big winter guy. Fall is nice to look at, but to me it's just a signal that the cold garbage snow is on its way. So come on, spring, let's get here, let's hit the fast forward. Everybody, if you want to be part of tonight's show, you can reach out on Twitter. You know, most of you guys who listen to this episode or this show each week, you know the routine. Twitter or the telephone. Come on, get off your duffs and call in here, you know, with some questions, and be participants in this show and not just, you know, passersby. But here's how you can go ahead and do that.
Call 516-453-9902 right now with your questions or comments for tonight's guest. Or post a note on Twitter with hashtag Fresh Ink Group in the body of the tweet and we'll read it on air. That's 516-453-9902 or hashtag Fresh Ink Group on Twitter.
When you call in and participate, it makes the show that much more fun on our end. So participate.
Yeah. And I'd hate to think that tonight's guest has to sit there feeling unloved and unwanted for an entire show. I mean,
I know,
really.
Come on.
So we got some good news. A couple of weeks ago, we had Larry Jorgensen on talking about several of his books, The Coca-Cola Trail, and he was talking about his new book, Shipwrecked and Rescued, about a ship that went down with a whole bunch of old Chryslers on it in Lake Superior up north Michigan. And the story behind that. And he went on a tour, book tour, all across the northern states there and stirred up tons of interest in it. And then he came to us, and now we are republishing that book. We're beefing it up a little bit, adding a few things to it, re-editing some of the old photos, make them a little clearer and nicer, and putting out a Fresh Ink Group edition. And we are hustling on this because this guy's getting book orders faster than he can fill them, and he's just about out of copies. So we're looking at about a week, 10 days, something like that. We should be able to announce, go get your copy, your Fresh Ink Group edition of Shipwrecked and Rescued by Larry Jorgensen. But in the meanwhile, you might want to check out his Coca-Cola Trail books. They are fascinating. There's two of them, the Coca-Cola Trail, and I believe it's Return to the Coca-Cola Trail is the second one. And those are available on Amazon. Yeah.
Coca-Cola, the sequel.
Anything else going on, Beam?
Yeah, we've picked up three new authors. These are from crime, thrillers, memoirs. And just stay tuned for that. And the way you can stay tuned is by subscribing to our newsletter. And here's how you can do that.
Stay on top of these podcasts and all things Fresh Ink Group with our weekly digital newsletter. New releases, videos, stories, excerpts, interviews, and more. Sign up now on the homepage of freshinkgroup.com and be the one who knows what's what.
Yeah, I need to subscribe to this thing, find out what's going on. This sounds like a cool newsletter. It is very graphic oriented, visually pleasing, easy to scroll down. So if you haven't been checking it out, do that. All right, we got a tradition here now where I go over and look at what's been going on with print sales. This is not ebook sales, but print sales, to see what our top five are for the past week. Excuse me. It's been kind of an interesting week because J. Ash Looney has been riding in that top five for a little while there with his Practical Problems, which is 10 stage plays, one-act plays, which can be read like stories or they can actually be put on like plays. But he knocked himself out of there this week with his Figuratively Speaking, Thesaurus of Expressions and Phrases, which is the first book we published by him 5 years ago, something like that.
Yeah.
After all these years, it's in our top five this week. So congratulations, Mr. Ash Looney. It shows that if you just keep slogging and keep hustling, keep those book trailers in front of people, get out there on social media and keep spreading the word, then, you know, these books can stay alive for a long time. Now, in the middle of the list at number three is one that probably is not much of a surprise for anybody, The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip by Country Music Hall of Fame drummer, who tonight's guest got to interview for her own show one time, him and his wife, Leah Seawright, and I believe they had all kinds of fun. I love that show. Maybe she'll tell us how we can go hear it again. But that's The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip by Mark Herndon. And it's the story about his almost three decades playing with the super group Alabama, one of the biggest groups in the world, playing to sold-out arenas and whatnot. So he starts out as a Navy brat kid, Air Force brat kid, I mean, and growing up and then living the dream, finally achieving it, and then how it kind of went sour. And, you know, he tells the good, the good, bad, the ugly, but he doesn't really slam anybody or you know, get unpleasant about it. He stays on the high road. And he even admits his own mistakes.
Yes,
so that's a great book. And it's 6.5 years we've had this book in print now. And it wasn't a republish. This was an original Fresh Ink Group edition. And it's still riding in our top five. So congratulations, Mark Herndon. Now, we got two other books here that take the 1, 2, and 4 slots. And the two books that are in the 1 and 2 slots have been jockeying back and forth for that number one position all week long. Every time I look, it's the other one. Then it's this one. Then it's the other one. Then it's this one. And right now, the one that's on top is How to Start and Run Your Own Food Truck Business in Georgia by A.K. Wengler. That thing is really taking off. Her first book, How to Start and Run a Food Truck Business in Florida, is still doing very well, but the Georgia one's outpacing it by a wide margin. And we think that might have a lot to do with the fact that Georgia just changed a substantial amount of their laws governing how food truck businesses are run. And she's got the latest skinny. So if you're anywhere near Georgia or thinking about having a food truck in Georgia, you are definitely going to want this book because she's telling you all the new stuff and how to do it right. So that's A.K. Wengler's How to Start and Run a Food Truck Business in Georgia. By the way, she's got a website that we put together for yourfoodtruckhowto.com. Which has got all kinds of cool information. She's also in She's also in the number four slot with the same book. So 1 and 4 are Food Truck Georgia. That means the number two slot is our other one that's been vying for number one for the last 3 weeks now, and that's Submariner, 30 Years of Hijinks and Keeping the Fleet Afloat by retired Lieutenant Commander Jerry Pate, with the help of Robert G. Willis Croft in compiling and editing and putting things together and making it all happen. Submariner, 30 years of hijinks and keeping the fleet afloat. It's in the number two slot right now, but it's been a number one Amazon bestseller for several weeks and is riding very high on Amazon right now as well. And this month, Jerry Pate is making some appearances. So if you're interested, get over to our newsletter and check out the dates and locations of where he's going to be. And you could get out there and meet the guy who commanded the nuclear sub that recovered the Space Shuttle Challenger after it exploded, and the astronauts' remains, and a whole is 60 chapters of interesting stories, and they're all great. I have this problem of I've got a couple of copies here, and people keep, you know, asking about that book, and I show it to them, and it's like, oh, can I have this? And it's like, well, you know, I didn't really need these for promotional purposes, but it's a high demand. And congratulations, Jerry and Robert. It's a fine book, and we're proud of what you guys have accomplished. So that's our top five right now. And again, J. Ash Looney, that's another example of why you want to keep slogging out there. You can keep these books alive for a long time.
And I've got some audiobooks updates here. One of our audiobooks, Girl Wears Those Shoes, that's almost done, and I thought I was done. And as I finished the last of the files that I had, I noticed there was three other parts to this last chapter that I didn't have the files for. And then I went back to the email and saw that the voice artist said they would be in the email, in the box that she puts it in soon. So that will hopefully be done real soon. Ellie Collins is Mad Max and Sweet Sarah. That is done, finished. And it's even been uploaded to ACX, and we're waiting for them to – it's been cleared, and there's just – they got to do some minor things on their side that they do, and that'll be available anytime now. So keep an eye out for that. Newsletter will have info on that, as well Twitter and this show will, you know, bring it up when it's ready. And we have another one that's in production right now, Operation Whiteout, a Mac McDowell mission. That is currently in voice production, and as soon as we get those voice files, I'll work my magic on them, and we'll have that good to go. That's Robert G. Williscroft, a fantastic writer and a good friend of the show. So keep your eyes open and your ears open for that. And if you miss an episode, or if you want to replay an episode, or if you're new to the show and you want to find out what we did, you know, 2 years ago, you can find every episode we've done in the archives. And here's how you can do that.
Find your favorite show in the Voice of Indy archives on YouTube at Fresh Ink Group, StephenGees.com, BeamWeeks.com, FreshInkGroup.com, and on Spotify. And now, you can listen on iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and TuneIn. Just search The Voice of Indy, all one word.
Indeed.
All right. Okay, tonight's guest is Texas author Jan Sykes. She was a previous guest on the show in our first year, and we couldn't wait to have her back as soon as she got ready to release her new book. A quirky fact about Jan Sykes, she cannot stand to eat anything made with milk chocolate, but she loves dark chocolate. The darker, the better. She's been an avid reader all her life. She can still remember the excitement that surged through her the first time she realized she could decipher words. Many summers, she won the highest award possible from the Hobbs, New Mexico Public Library for reading the most books. There's nothing she loves more than losing herself in a story. Oddly enough, she never had any ambition to be a writer, but she wound up in midlife with a story that just begged to be told. Not just any story, but a true story that rivaled any fiction creation. Through fictitious characters, the tale came to life in an intricately woven story that encompasses four books. Not satisfied to stop with the books, she released music CDs of original music to match the time period of each story segment. Then she published a book of poetry and art. She was done. Wrong. The story ideas keep coming, and she doesn't intend to turn off the creative fountain. Her other passion in life is music. She loves live music. There is a special energy exchange between a performer and his audience, and it is unlike any other experience. She is a member of the Authors Marketing Guild, the Writers League of Texas, Romance Writers of America, Story Empire, and the Paranormal Writers Guild. She is an avid fan of Texas music and grandmother of five beautiful souls. She resides in North Texas and participates in several Texas music festivals each year, And we are thrilled to have her. Welcome to the show, Jan Sykes.
Welcome, Jan.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
The word multi-talented comes to mind when he reads all that stuff. Multi-talented Jan Sykes.
I'm thinking this is a Renaissance woman.
I stay very busy. If my bio reflects that, I stay very busy between what I do for my books and my love for Texas music and my grandkids. So, never a dull moment.
Oh, I'll bet. So we hear Texas and New Mexico. Have you lived anywhere besides those two states?
Oh goodness, yes, I have. I lived in Louisiana for 7 years. I lived in Tampa, Florida. I lived in Denver, Colorado. I think that's all the states.
Yeah, that's more than enough. Why moving around so much?
I don't know. I've always had a little bit of gypsy blood in me, and I just life took me places, and I went with it.
Cool.
Now, dipping back to your childhood, we see that you had many summers. You won the highest award possible from the Hobbs New Mexico Public Library for reading the most books. So you were obviously reading was something that started at a very young age. Did writing start back then as well, or were you working on like anything, short stories, poems, story ideas?
You know, the first thing I can remember writing, and I was probably maybe about 8 or 9 years old, I had an uncle. He was my favorite uncle, and I loved him. And he lived with us off and on through the years. But he was an alcoholic. So I wrote a song about Uncle Luke finding Jesus. That was my first writing.
Wow.
You were 8?
I was either 8 or 9. I can't remember exactly, but he was quite a character. I could write a book about my Uncle Luke. He was something else. He had a wooden leg, and he had a glass eye, and he
did he
had
keep him under the bed?
Missing. The glass
yeah.
eye,
a little wood, leg. A little glass.
Sure, but he always had a good sense of humor. He was always joking. He was always carrying on. And when he got drunk, he wasn't a mean drunk. He was funny. And I remember one time he came up to the door to the house, and he had been drinking, and his wooden leg was turned backwards. So one foot was going forward, so one was going backwards. That was the funniest thing. Mom didn't think it was very funny.
Now, you say you wrote a song about him. Did you play an instrument back then, and do you play one now?
No, I did not play an instrument back then. I always wanted to play piano. That was my burning desire. But I learned to play a little bit by ear, but not accomplished. I did learn to play guitar. When I was 50 years old, I started learning to play guitar. And the reason for that was because I wanted to participate with my late husband in writing and singing and recording songs. That was my motivation for learning to play guitar.
Wow.
Okay.
Now, over on Twitter, Marlena Smith-Burris says, I'm so glad Jan has continued sharing her stories with us. She has such incredible talent. And she's got 2 exclamation marks there, so we're talking incredible.
Aw, thank you, Marlena.
Yeah. So you were telling us about your late husband. That would be Rick Sykes?
Yes.
So can you give us some background there, how you met him and what his talents were? And
so he was very talented, not only as a musician, singer-songwriter, band leader, but artistically. It was always easy to identify nightclubs that he had done the artwork in. He had just a signature kind of a artwork that he did for the music with the music notes and what have you. But so he was very talented.
Hmm.
And So his story was what prompted me to start writing. I had to write the story. I thought somebody else would do it, but I realized that if somebody else did it, I would have to tell them the whole story. So that's when I started writing it. So Flowers and Stone in the first book starts with me meeting him. And I created fictitious characters just so that I could back out of it a little bit and let the characters tell the story. But at least 90% of those first four books are truth. Everything did happen. He was considerably older than I was. He was 35 when I met him, and I had just turned 19. So it was quite an age gap. But he had a presence. He had a presence on stage. He had a presence when he walked in the room. And the first night that I ever saw him, I was waiting tables in a nightclub that had lost their liquor license for serving to minors because I was too young to be in the clubs. He had to be 21. And he and his band came in after playing one night because we had live music and we had food. So I traded with another waitress to wait on their table. But when he came in, the owner of the club, who was a Czechoslovakian lady, she had been some kind of a famous dancer in Czechoslovakia, but she owned the club. And when he came in, she made some people move from a table to give them the best table in the house. So I was intrigued because I'd never seen her do that with anybody.
Yeah. Got A-listers here.
So that was when I met him that night. And just really drawn not only to the music, but to the persona, he was kind of bigger than life.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Now, we're going to want to hear a lot more of this story as well, but we need to knock out a couple of commercials here. And we've got a comment on Twitter from Marlena Smith Burris. Story Empire is an incredible source for writers. So we're going to ask you what Story Empire is, too. But we mentioned earlier our top two bestsellers in print right now are Submariner and How to Start and Run a Food Truck Business in Georgia. So we're going to play both of those commercials and then come back and talk to Jan Sykes.
All right.
With good jobs so hard to find, especially in rapidly expanding Georgia, owning your own food truck could be the best option. It's the least expensive startup, and you can be fully operational in mere months. The rules and regulations can be a bit complex, and no single source has offered all the answers. Until now. How to Start and Run Your Own Food Truck Business in Georgia by food truck veteran A.K. Wingler is the step-by-step guide that takes you from good idea to great success. Sure, it's hard work, but exciting, mobile, flexible, and highly profitable. And you get to be your own boss and set your own hours. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, this book tells you how and where to make money in this exploding independent industry. Learn more at Wingler's website, yourfoodtruckhowto.com. Grab your copy in laminated hardcover, glossy softcover, or any of the major ebook formats at retailers worldwide. Even if you're just curious for now, this guide is the best way to discover why a food truck business is right for you.
Submariner, 30 years of hijinks and keeping the fleet afloat. Jerry Pate's semi-autobiographical collection of 60 stories recounts his 30 years in and around the U.S. Navy submarine fleet, ranging from lighthearted to wrenching. All are poignant inside looks at naval operations rarely seen by outsiders. Topics include the real story behind the shuttle Challenger tragedy, risking his own life underwater, discovering a Soviet spy living across the street, surviving when an engine ignites, critical missions, and the everyday lives of men and women of the fleet. Compiled by author Robert G. Williscroft and proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, Submariner is available worldwide in hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats. Dive into Submariner for hijinks and breathtaking adventure with this poignant memoir by a true American hero.
All right. We have over here on Twitter. Let's see. Here we go. For Wayne Greenhill, he's got a follow-up question to Joe Congel's question. If you could only write one genre,
we haven't heard Joe's question yet.
Okay.
Wayne's got a comment about the happy drunk. He says, with his feet situated like that, he would be difficult to track. Yeah, can you imagine tracking somebody, one foot's facing one way, one face in the other way?
I think that'd be great in a mystery story.
He says, my grandfather was a happy drunk. He would always get his bar buddies with the greeting, how's your wife and my kids? And then he adds, good to hear from you tonight, Jan. Yeah, Wayne's always a lot of fun. Marlena had asked about Story Empire. I had mentioned Story Empire. Before we get back to Rick, you want to tell us real quick what Story Empire is? Because it's a great resource for writers, and people need to learn about this.
It is truly an excellent resource for writers. And it's just a group of authors that came together with the sole purpose of providing writing encouragement, writing tips, marketing tips, for other writers. It basically is created by writers for writers. And right now it consists of 11 authors, and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday there's a blog post up by a different author, and you never know what it's going to be about. It's always very interesting, and I have learned so much from the other authors at Story Empire. And they're very supportive, a very supportive group of people.
Yeah, and it's a wide variety of writing issues as well. Like today's is about the first draft, writing your first draft, and what you do and don't do with it. It's just
that's one author's take.
D. Wallace Peach. It's her take on it, but it's fantastic. You know, if you're an aspiring author, this is a resource that can help you move your stories forward.
So how do people find it?
I totally agree.
Can they subscribe? Can they follow it? How do they get to be a part of this?
StoryEmpire.com. It's real hard.
Yeah, StoryEmpire.com.
StoryEmpire.com, and then click on the blog and follow. It's like Beam said, it is a wide variety of information and different perspectives on the craft of writing. So there's always something interesting, something new, something that will trigger a thought or a, oh yeah, I needed to know that, or that's a great reminder.
Yeah. StoryEmpire.com. Now,
yeah,
we've got several of Rick's songs. They're all short songs, 2 or 3 minutes, and I think we have 4 of them. We're going to play a couple during the show, and then we're going to play a couple of them at the end of the show for people who want to stick around a couple more minutes and hear the others. Is now a good time to play one, Jan?
Absolutely. So if I know what it is, I could give a little intro to it.
Okay. How about we start with Crying with the Blues?
Okay, so Crying with the Blues was written probably back in the 60s or so, but he had never recorded it. So when in 2001, we started working on a new album and CD, and he wanted to include that one, and I got to sing backup on it. So it's a fun song.
All right. Crying with the Blues.
Crying with the blues, from my heart down to my shoes, left me crying all night with the blues. My heart aches inside, it's time we say goodbye. You left me crying all night with the
Every time I've cried and cried, and you're not by my side. Well, little girl, so long you know you've done me wrong. You left me crying all night with the moon. The future holds. All my life is dark and cold. Every time I've cried and cried, when you're not by my side. With a little girl, so long ago you done me wrong. You left me crying all night with the moon.
That was early 1960s, huh? Yeah.
So that was actually recorded. That's on that is on the Etchings and Stone CD, which was the last CD that he recorded before he got sick. And that was in, we started working on it in 2001, and we recorded it at a studio in Abilene. So several nights a week, I would get off work at 5, come home. He would already have a sandwich together, and we would hop in the car, and we would head to Abilene and sometimes not get home till after midnight. But we got it, and it was quite a project.
That's some wonderful memories.
Yeah, and the thing that I like about that song is it's obviously got its roots in the 60s. And you stayed true to that. You didn't try to, you know, modernize it or anything like that. But there's a rockabilly soul to it, which is, mm-hmm. I love rockabilly, especially the old school
it
rockabilly.
It does. So the interesting thing was is that even though Rick was basically a country artist, his roots were rockabilly. That's where he started. He went to school with a guy named Dean Beard. And if anybody wants to look Dean up, he actually wound up playing with the Champs out in California, the ones that recorded Tequila.
Tequila, yeah.
And so him and Dean formed the first band that he was ever in, and they were maybe 16 years old or so, but that's what they played was rockabilly. That was what that was what it was.
Hmm.
And then Dean kind of went on and stayed with that. Sort of music, and then Rick went on and turned more toward the country and ballads and what have you. But his roots were in rockabilly.
Yeah, you can hear those rockabilly roots in that song, definitely. Definitely a good song, too. Joe Congell, since we're on this subject, now Joe Congell, I was going to read this earlier. I've been having trouble with my Twitter tonight, so it didn't want to refresh, but I think I've got it caught up now. Joe Congell says, "Hi Jan, if you could only choose one, would it be writing or music?"
Oh, Joe, that's a hard question. I don't think I could choose. I don't think I could choose. At different points in my life, of course, when Rick was still alive and we were doing the music, That was the focus. That's what we did. It was everyday life. But when I started writing, it totally changed my focus. I still love music and I still support music, but it's been years since I've picked up my guitar or tried to write a song because it went in another direction. So I don't know, but I do almost always include some kind of music in my fiction stories just because it's such a part of what I am. And for instance, in the most recent book, and I know we're going to talk about it later, but the main character fronts a band and he writes and plays guitar. And so it just comes natural to me to write characters like that.
Yeah, and the good thing is in this world, you don't have to choose. If you want to do both, you can do both.
That's true. Mark Herndon is a good example.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, Verwaine Greenhoe has a follow-up to Joe's question, Joe Conjo's question. He said, if you could only write in one genre, which would you choose and why?
That's a hard question, too, because I have written a lot of short stories. With short stories, I experimented in writing in different genres, and that was fun. But I think I've kind of found my niche in writing romantic suspense. However, the current project that I'm working on is historical fiction set in 1947. So I don't know. That's a hard question. I do like a little bit of romance, though, so maybe that answers it.
Yeah. Marlena Smith on Twitter added, being the hopeless romantic that I am, I love hearing you speak about Rick, Jan. There's so much love there, and you paint such a beautiful picture of him. Yeah, I like hearing the stories, too, because, you know, you can hear fond memories in your voice, and being able to hear the song again after all these years, that's pretty cool.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, he had his flaws, but we won't go there.
We're all flawed, every last one of us.
We are all flawed, absolutely. Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah.
But it's where you are rather than where you've been.
That is right. Exactly right. And so, you know, he had quite a lengthy career before I ever met him, because he started playing music in the 50s. I was still in school. it was kind of a running joke of he would say something about, you know, where were you when I really needed you? And I'd be like, well, I was only 10. Because of the age difference. But he had really quite a career, and I don't know if you remember the name David Houston, but he made some big hit records, and he was managed by a man named Tillman Franks out of Shreveport, Louisiana. And Tillman had told Rick that once he got David launched, David Houston, that he was going to pick him up. And in the meantime, was when Rick got in trouble and ended all that.
You want to tell us about that?
So, you know, he played music six nights a week. Monday night was the only night we had off. Every other night we played somewhere, even on Sundays. And so he was always up and down the road and had built up a really large fan base all over the whole state of Texas and Oklahoma and into New Mexico. But so these men had started hanging around and became groupies or fans or whatever you want to call them. And one night, after the show was over, they were sitting around drinking or what have you, and they made a proposal. They said, you know, you're up and down these roads all the time. How about you case out some banks for us, and we'll kind of compensate you? So at the time, Rick thought, well, why the hell not? You know, it's I am up and down the roads, and, hey, I could use a little extra money. It takes a lot to keep all these families fed and the party going. So he did. He would go in these little towns and cash a $20 bill, which back then was like cashing $100 now. And then he would draw the layout. He would draw the bank, draw the roads in and out of town, and hand it to him. That was his part in the whole thing. But when it all came down and everybody got arrested because he would not tell them what he knew or who he knew, he took the full sentence, and he got a 25-year and a 50-year sentence to run consecutively.
Wow.
That was in 1971. He arrived in Leavenworth Penitentiary in December of 1972. So that kind of ended his music career. At least put a high put it on hold, let's say.
Well, how long did he spend in there? Obviously, he didn't do the full 75 straight.
No, he kept coming up for parole on the federal side, the 25 year, but he kept refusing it because everybody who knew things told him that it was much easier to do time in a federal penitentiary than a state. So if he took the federal parole, then he would immediately be transferred to Huntsville. So he kept turning it down. And finally, it took a little money and the right person, and he got a parole. I was living in Shreveport, Louisiana at the time, and it's so funny how things in life come around and how coincidental things come around. But a lady that lived a couple of blocks over had a daughter that was the same age of my oldest daughter, and they played together. So we got to kind of be friends. And I was telling her one day about how long we'd been trying to get Rick paroled and how it wasn't working. And she said to me, she said, I have a friend in Austin who's dating a lawyer who used to be on the parole board. Let me talk to her.
Ooh.
Wow.
And so yeah. She did, and they put me in touch with this attorney, and he needed a little bit of money, and he got him paroled.
Wow.
Yeah, so you things got lined up for
and
you there.
To your question, I don't think I answered your question, Beam. He did 15 years.
15. Okay. That's a lot of time.
Now, I want to throw this out here. You mentioned Tillman Franks. The name sounded familiar, so I ended up doing a Google search. He managed Johnny Horton, David Houston, Webb Pierce, Clyde King.
Yep.
Now, Johnny Horton, Webb Pierce, Clyde King. These are people that I grew up hearing in my house because my parents were country music.
Exactly.
Fans, my grandparents
exactly.
were. This is stuff that I know all those old songs. But yeah, this guy, he was also a bass player and a songwriter too.
Yes, he was. And I honestly believe if life hadn't taken the turn it did, and Tillman had picked him up, he would have been a household name. He was that good, and he had a stage presence. He would bring the P2 the music. He had a way of doing that, and I think he would have. And I don't know if you've ever, well, probably not because it's Texas, but there's a guy here named Larry Joe Taylor that has a big music festival every year. He was the first one to ever start the music festivals in Texas. And he lived in Brownwood when he was a kid, which was where Rick lived, and had been in the little studio there in Brownwood. And he, after Rick came home, he invited us to a Valentine's Day thing he was having there at his place. And he said the words. He said, there is a man here with us today that if he hadn't gone to prison, he would have been a household name. I do believe that. He was right on the edge, but it wasn't to be. Wasn't to be.
So this story then is fictionalized in your first four books?
Yes.
Okay. You want to tell everybody the names of those books so they can get out there and look for them?
So Flowers and Stone is the first book. And it begins in 1970 in Abilene, Texas. And the reason for the title, Flowers and Stone, is that the characters are Darlena Flowers and Luke Stone instead of Rick and Jan Sykes. And the second book is The Convict and the Rose, and it is set alternately between Leavenworth Prison and Texas. And the third one is Home at Last, which picks up after he's paroled and comes home. And then Till Death Do Us Part ends with his death.
Wow.
And that was in 2009. He passed away in 2009.
Okay. And all of these books are available out there. Everybody can go out there and find them. And what about the CDs, the music?
The CDs are out there too. They're all on Amazon. They're all on iTunes. They're all on Spotify. They're out there. I originally wanted to do the CDs because it was going to be a way for me to try to keep promoting his music along with the stories. And so that was kind of my motivation for doing it. Plus, I wanted to preserve the music. And the CD that goes with The Convict and the Rose, and I think I talked about this last time I was on the show, but it was recorded inside Leavenworth Prison.
Wow.
They actually built a recording studio inside Leavenworth, and to my knowledge, was the only one ever in a federal penitentiary. And it was years and years of soliciting for it, of begging the warden to let them do it. And he finally gave permission. Rick said he only ever wrote one contrived song, the song he wanted to play for the warden, and it was called From the Bottle to the Needle. And he said, you know, at least 80 to 90% of the people in prison are there behind alcohol and drugs. And so he wrote this song, Bottle to the Needle, and played it live for the warden. And the warden gave him permission to build a studio with no money. He gave him a room. He said, here, you can take this room. If you can put a studio in it, more power to you. So they did. They took pieces of broken equipment that had been discarded and reworked it and built a soundboard. And they got egg cartons from the chow hall and glued them on the walls as baffles for sound and just, you know, put it together, a makeshift recording studio. So the CD that goes with the second book was recorded all in Leavenworth Prison. So that,
wow,
to me, it's kind of history. It's a bit of history.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's kind of like, you know, building a studio if you were MacGyver. You remember MacGyver
yeah.
could build
exactly.
anything with anything. So it's like MacGyver, all we got is this empty Kleenex box and a stick of gum. Don't worry, we got this. I can build a studio.
Yeah. Do you want 16 tracks or 32?
That's absolutely the way it was. And Rick always said convicts were very resourceful, and there was a lot of talent. He wasn't the only one. There was a lot of talent that was locked up, and they wanted to get their music out. So they worked together and put this studio together. And then after they got it done, he was also very good friends with the hobos. This is going off a whole other track, but Steam Train Maury was the king of the hobos, the lifetime king of the hobos, and he would go to the prison and do shows, and him and Rick got to be very, very close friends. So Steam Train came, and he wanted to see the studio, and so they took him down and gave him the tour. And he left there, but he told Rick, he said, I am friends with the man who owns Peavey Company, and I am going to be seeing him next month. And about 6 months later, a truckload of Peavey equipment arrived in Leavenworth.
Peavey's good stuff.
Yeah, I've got an old Peavey
amp
that still works.
What they sent was scratch and dent that they couldn't sell, which was fine. I mean, it's still new equipment compared to what they had.
Yeah, you get somebody up in the balcony and say,
wait
a minute, is that a scratch I'm hearing? You know?
Yeah, you know, and that's interesting that you mentioned that, because there's this guy on YouTube, and I haven't watched him in a while, but I used to watch him quite a bit, and he's a musician, and he owns a website that sells new and used music equipment. And what he does is he goes all over California to these music stores like Guitar Center and places like that, and he dumpster dives.
Yeah.
And he's always pulling out equipment. And like there was a kick pedal for a bass drum, and he said the only thing that was wrong with that, it was missing a bolt. And they just tossed it out. And all this other equipment, you know, guitar effects pedals and wah-wah pedals and broken guitars that can be fixed. And just amazing because they write them off. Damaged equipment.
Absolutely.
So.
Yep, absolutely. So
how do we search
kind
for these,
of that story.
How do we search for these CDs, Jan? Is it just look up Rick Sykes, S-I-K-E-S, like at Amazon?
Yeah. Type in Rick Sykes, and they should all pop up.
Cool.
I originally distributed them through CD Baby. But CD Baby has changed, and I'm not real sure. I still get a check from them every once in a while, so I guess they're still doing something. But, yeah, all the CDs are out there. Just put in Rick's name.
Cool. Well, I think it's a good time to hear another song.
All right.
All right.
How about we do his number one, Den of Sin. It was number one in Denmark. Tell us a little bit about that one.
So that was his only number one song, and it went to number one on the charts in the country of Denmark. They, for some reason, loved his music, and so that was his one number one hit. And he always used to joke about how where we lived in Coleman, Texas, and he used to say that Denmark was about the size of Coleman County, but it didn't matter. They loved his music, and it went to number one. And it's reverse tearjerker.
A reverse tearjerker.
Okay.
All right. So here is Den of Sin.
I'm going down to her. They call me Good Time Charlie. You drink all my troubles away to the place where my good time all started. But it's over 'cause she's coming home to stay. Den of Sin, far up this is the end. No more staying out and laying up all day. I'm not crying because my baby loved me. I'm crying 'cause she's coming home to stay.
That's got that vibe from the era.
Yes, for sure. And that song was taken off of a 45 RPM record, so that was recorded in the 60s.
Yeah, that was off of Sims Records?
Yes.
Yeah, I just was Googling that, and I see Discogs. They've got, old vinyl records, albums, 45s, and they had that over there as well. Sims Records.
Yeah, it was on Sims Records. And, that was and I still have some of the 45s, but that was the CD that I wanted to put out with Flowers and Stone because it fit that era. And you can still hear some of the scratches, but we got most of it mastered out and made it into a CD.
Yeah, that's the kind of music that I grew up hearing in my house. Just that kind of music, the country music. That's my first my first earliest memories, the late 60s, my earliest memories of music, that kind of music right there. I grew up to be a metalhead.
Makes you want to get up and do the two-step.
Yeah,
in a thrash metal kind of way.
Yeah, thrash metal. I grew up to be a metalhead, but I love all that old music, all the old country music, old jazz and blues, and the old rock and roll from the 50s. I got stuff from the 30s on my iPod. So I mean, I've got a wide selection.
Right.
I might have to add that song on my iPod.
I don't like today's country music. I don't follow it. I don't listen to it.
It's not really country.
I don't like it.
They've mingled it with hip hop and there's nothing wrong with hip hop. They got their fans, but
no,
when you crossbreed
not.
It with
I agree.
You crossbreed it with country music is
Yeah, so I don't care for today's country.
I don't either.
Songs that tell stories.
Yeah.
I love story songs, but I'm a sucker for a good story.
Let's change gears out of the music and let's talk about your current work, the White Rune series.
Yeah.
Tell us about those books.
Three books.
Okay.
Three books.
Three books. The newest one just released last week on Wednesday, and that wraps up the series. So the first book, the idea for the first book came to me when I was writing The Convict and the Rose, the second book of the true story. But I couldn't stop what I was doing, so I just kind of jotted some notes and wrote a rough first chapter and put it aside. And then after I finished the four books, I got it back out and finished writing it. But I was determined that I was not going to self-publish fiction, which I, of course, will certainly probably change my mind at some point. But I wanted a publisher, so I started pitching, and I pitched for 3 years before a publisher picked it up. My original working title was When Two Worlds Collide, but there were too many things out there with that title, so the publisher changed it to Ghostly Interference. So that was the first one, and in the first book, a white room comes to one of the characters in a letter from a soldier. It was her brother, and he died in Iraq. This was his final letter, and it had this white rune in it. So the thing that ties all of the books together is this rune, which if anyone is not familiar with that, it's kind of like a stone, but they have symbols on them. And the rune symbols, the runic symbols, were originally used as part of the Germanic alphabet, and Vikings and Norsemen used them to communicate with each other. And it, kind of like the Apache code talkers, but they would leave these symbols on places that would mean something. So anyway, so a set of runes has all these different symbols on it, and I chose the rune with the Wunyo symbol on it because it signifies a happily ever after. After all, it's a romance, so you got to have a happy ever after, right?
Yeah.
So the rune gets passed from book to book. And then in the third book, it is passed on and leaves. And that's what ties the three books together. But the first one is a paranormal romance in that there is a ghost, and the ghost of the soldier, the brother, he is not resting until he knows his sister is okay. And the second book is a romantic suspense, and it is a soldier. It's called Jagged Feathers. It is the soldier who delivered the rune in book one. He gets his own story. And he's got a lot of things to work through. He lost a part of his leg in Afghanistan and dealing with PTSD and dealing with a missing limb. And so he's got a lot that he's dealing with. And the female character that comes into the story is she's in deep trouble. She's running from a drug cartel, and he is compelled to help her. And of course, they eventually fall in love, but they have a lot of adventures. And so then the third book, the rune gets passed on to the main character in the third book, which is the new one. And it is set on a ranch, a horse sanctuary. This my character rescues and rehomes abused and neglected and unwanted horses. And he's lived on the ranch nearly his whole life. He's ex-rodeoer. He was a bronc rider, and he's a musician. He plays guitar. So his obstacles are that a man shows up out of the blue claiming that he has ownership in the ranch, that his late grandfather, that my character's late grandfather had lost it to him in a card game. And so that's kind of starts his troubles, and it goes from there and escalates. And I love when I'm not an outliner. I'm a pantser, and I love when surprises pop up. And honestly, in this book, the person that I started out making the antagonist, it turned out to be somebody totally different. And I love surprises like that. But I brought almost all of the characters into the third book, at least in a mention. So it kind of culminates and wraps up all of it.
Now, you've done a recent blog tour for this book, correct?
I am tomorrow's day 5 of a 21-stop tour.
21?
So
wow.
We just launched it. But yes, I am doing a blog tour, and I enjoyed being at your place, Beam. Thank you for that.
Well, thank you for honoring me with asking me to be a stop. So,
yeah, and
I get
November 15th. So over at StephenG.wordpress.com, you can find one of the stops on Jan's tour as well. But how do people find these other stops? I mean, do they just Google?
So on my blog, I have a sticky page or a home page on my blog that I'm listing the link every day of where I'm at. So they're all on that one. So it's jansykesblog.com.
Great. And over on Twitter, Verwayne Greenhouse said his wife Lisa was asking how to get some of Rick's music, and then we told him. So he posted a link right here on Twitter for Drugs and Roses by Rick Sykes. So hashtag Fresh Ink Group, and you can find a link directly to some of Rick's music there. And Marlena Smith Burris added, that kind of music just makes your soul happy. And Marlena would know, because Marlena's a happy soul.
Yes, she is.
She is.
And Verwayne Greenhall also threw up here, he said, I was at the Grand Old Opry in the 60s at least a dozen times. I saw Johnny Cash, legend. Loretta Lynn, legend, one of my all-time favorites. Patsy Cline, another legend, one of my all-time favorites. Tex Ritter, and many others. As Lawrence Welk always said, what memories, what memories.
Yeah.
I love that. Rick had a story about Johnny Cash, and I mean, you know, he played with all of them. He played with Loretta Lynn, and he had deep respect for her. He said she was a feisty woman, but his Johnny Cash story was he had met him several times, and he would tell him, I've already met you, Johnny, and he'd say, well, it's nice to meet you again. He didn't remember.
How many people does he meet during the course of, you know, a tour? I probably meet a lot of people.
And they were doing a little mind-altering things back then, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
Even in the country world.
My Loretta Lynn story is I was up at her ranch this week for a family reunion, which we hold at Loretta Lynn's ranch every year. And Loretta's ranch is just a couple of miles from where all of my family are from, Waverly, Tennessee. So many of them knew her. My Aunt Jean worked for her in her store for a while. And one time Loretta asked my mother to make her some Afghans. And I'm told that to this day, they're still in the living room in her mansion. And if you take the mansion tour, you can go into the living room and see all the stuff that's in there, including my mother's Afghans. And someday I'm going to do that. But Loretta Lynn was just a wonderful soul that everybody in town knew and loved. And she was as friendly as could be. And she autographed her autobiography for my mother as well, which my mother's gone now, but I've got the book sitting right here on my shelf, and it's a prized possession.
Awesome. I love that.
So you got short stories too, Jan. 11 of them, is that right?
I'm sorry, say that again.
You've got 11 short stories out there as well that people could
I do. Yes, 11 short stories and 7 novels and a book of poetry and art.
And it's all findable on Amazon.
The book of poetry and art, right. The book of poetry and art was actually created by Rick in prison. He wrote the poems, he did the artwork. And I just felt like it needed to be published. So I, of course, he was passed on, but I poems in the back so that I could publish it as Rick and Jan Sykes.
Oh, cool. Well, Jan, we're starting to run low on time here. Do you have some advice for authors or musicians out there?
You know, it's amazing to me how similar the music business and the book business are. It's all creative. It is all in that same creative vein. And I just think it's wonderful that we have evolved to a point where people can self-publish and where musicians can release their own music, because it used to be all, it had to be the companies, and it's not like that anymore, and I love that. But if I had any advice at all to give, it would be to, if you have a passion, and I mean a true burning passion, to tell a story, whether it be in song or whether it be in a book, do it. Just do it.
Just do it.
Yeah, all of the resources you have are available. If you want to learn about more about writing, go to storyempire.com. Look at all the blogs. My goodness, there's a plethora of information, and it's all out there. So there's no reason that anyone couldn't follow a dream or see their passion fulfilled.
Now, before we get to how people can find you online, we do have one more question here from Joe Conjo. He says, Jan, did you stay involved in recording music while Rick was away all those years?
No, I didn't. I was so very young, and I did not have the knowledge.
Are you there?
Hello, Jan?
Jan.
Aha.
I think we dropped,
like,
yeah.
Sounds like she dropped. Why don't we roll a commercial and give her a minute? Oh, here she comes.
Oh, there you are. Okay.
Jan, you got cut off there. We didn't hear your answer.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know, where do I go back to?
You didn't have the experience?
Did you hear?
Yeah.
I didn't. And I was so very young. And my participation with Rick and the music at that point, early in our relationship, was of course going with him to the shows, and I was saying he was the first person in Texas in country music to bring go-go dancers onto the stage, and I was a go-go girl.
Ooh.
All right.
We're gonna want photos for next week's newsletter. You know that.
Well, you know, back then nobody had cell phones. There aren't any photos that I'm aware of. but anyway, in answer to that question, no, I did not. I just didn't have any knowledge at that point.
Okay, so how can people find you online? Twitter, website?
Okay, my website is jansykes.com, and it's with an I, S-I-K-E-S, Jan Sykes. My blog is jansykesblog.com, and Twitter is jansykes3, the number 3. On Facebook, it's author Jan Sykes Books. On Instagram, it's Sykes Jan.
All right.
Cool. And, of course, Story Empire. StoryEmpire.com.
Story Empire. That's right. Absolutely.
Get over there, find those posts, learn about the writing and publishing, and make sure you follow so that you can start receiving those on a regular basis.
Absolutely.
Jan, it's been a lot of fun having you on for a second time, and we are already looking forward to the next one.
Indeed.
Yeah.
We could talk for hours. We say that every time, but it's true.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you both.
And you are working on something now that we'll be able to tout next time, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right.
Cool. Well, next week we're going to have Marcia Fox and her co-author, Chief Pete Rising Sun, Native American. She's kicking off Native American Appreciation Month, telling us about their books and what's going on with that. And what's happening after that, Beam?
After that, we have California writer and USA Today top-selling author Avante Sentre. She's joining us. Don't know a whole lot about her, but we're really eager to get her in here and find out what her story is.
Yeah. And then after that, we've got Stacy Troilo. She's a fantastic writer, and I've been looking forward to being able to spend some time with her on the podcast. She's also a member of Story Empire, which, if you haven't heard, is at storyempire.com. Get over there and follow that and learn some more about that. And who's next?
And after that, we finally wrangled Linda Mims. Linda Mims will stop by and let us know what she's up to and fill in all the blanks. And after that...
Now, the week after that, the co-host and I are going to be in Nashville at Ryman, sitting on those hard seats, seeing, who are we going to see, Beam?
The Jason Bonham Led Zeppelin Evening.
Yeah.
Jason Bonham is the son of the late Led Zeppelin drummer, John Bonham, and we saw him a couple years ago opening for Peter Frampton up here in Pine Knob in Detroit, and Clarkston, actually, but it's close enough to Detroit. And he's got a phenomenal band. They sound, they do the old Led Zeppelin songs, and they sound like Led Zeppelin, and they're just amazing. So this is the closest I'm ever going to get to see my all-time favorite band, Led Zeppelin. So I've seen Robert Plant, too, which we saw at Pine Knob as well here this past summer.
So while we're climbing the Stairway to Heaven that night, we're going to rerun the show with Jerry Pate, retired Naval Lieutenant Commander, whose book Submariner is a number one Amazon bestseller and proving very popular right now. So if you know anybody interested in submarines, Navy, Jerry's stories, any of that, let them know. The podcast is going to be rerun again that night. And then after that,
we have author Tom Stewart stopping by and introducing himself to our audience. And then after that,
well, not right after that, but right before Christmas on December 21st, we're doing a special holiday episode with Wide Track, Ron and Zach Tippin, who've been guests on the show before. They're going to be on here. They're going to be talking, telling stories, and maybe we'll get to hear a little bit of music for the holidays as well.
Yeah,
so we're looking forward to that.
They're working, putting the finishing touches on a new album, and Zach's off to college now, so it's a slow process. But when he's home on the weekends, that's what they're working on, so... They just did a show this past weekend here in Michigan. And one of these days, Stephen, you and I have got to get out there and see them.
I'm trying to. Just managed to got to get the timing together. But our guest tonight has been author and musician Jan Sykes. And we've just had a blast talking to her, learning about her books and her stories, and hearing some of the backstory about some things as well. And she brought with her a couple of songs. We've saved two of them for the end of the show, so we're all going to say goodbye now. And then we're going to play two more songs by Rick Sykes before we close out. So, Jan, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, Jan.
Thank you both. I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah. All right. Let's hear some Rick Sykes.
Okay. So the first one is going to be called... Off and On, and then it'll follow with Valley of Tears. Valley
see
of
you
Tears
next time.
Was a top 10 in California back in the day. So
another
see hit.
You. See you next time,
everybody.
Every time I try to hold you in my arms, you turn your head and say you don't feel. Don't come around, you call me and say you love me, but how can I tell? Because you're off and on, off and on, like a bad connection on a cellular phone. You've got me so confused, my patience is all you. Somebody new, because you're off and on, off and on, like a bad connection on a cellular phone.
Why don't you take me where I belong, where hearts have been broken with a kiss and a song? Spend the rest of my day.
Find us at FreshInkGroup.com and be sure to hashtag Fresh Ink Group.